hope, encouragement, and direction. Who among us don't desire those simple elements of life? Well, they could be found right here in God's Word, and we'll look at them in depth here today on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. It's all right here in God's Word, everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. That's what's been promised us. Won't you join us for the next few minutes as we take a look at some of those promises, some of those challenges and encouragement from God's Word. This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We would invite you to join us for the next few minutes as we study God's Word together that we might grow in grace. Here now with this edition of Abounding Grace, once again, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for tuning in today on Abounding Grace. If you were with us yesterday, you know we're continuing in our study in John chapter 11 and the death of Lazarus and the way that Jesus deals with this death. There were a tragic set of circumstances that had come upon these sheep whom Jesus loved. And they couldn't understand it. They couldn't understand why things were happening the way they were happening, especially when Jesus had made a certain promise that this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Well, how could that happen? Jesus had stayed behind, Lazarus had died, and they couldn't correspond, they couldn't reconcile faith in the promise and the reality of death. And I'm sure many of you have been in these same sort of circumstances, these same situations, how things have seemed to have gotten beyond our Lord, maybe a tragic set of circumstances, a twist of events, that the outcome has been so horrible, it's hard to see how the Lord's hand could ever have been in this. And yet here it is. They're weeping. They're mourning. Jesus comes upon them. And Mary comes up and Martha starts and she makes a pleaful cry. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. That is a hard one, isn't it? Because essentially what she's crying out and saying, Lord, if things were different, had you been here, this wouldn't, I believe that you have the power, but this thing got beyond you. I mean, that's what she's sort of suggesting. That it was outside of his providence, that Jesus didn't know, and this one just got beyond him. And then what did Jesus say? This is where we left off yesterday, where Jesus made the statement, your brother will rise again, and Martha says to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Then Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? What a declaration. What a declaration of hope and certainty. In one sweeping promise, Jesus took upon himself all the power, all the responsibility to swallow up death with victory. I am the resurrection. I am the one through whom there's life. And he says, though one may die, he shall live. Whoever believes in me, he is never going to die. What a promise. I can't really leave this so quickly. You hear it? Whoever believes in me, says Jesus, there's no hell. There's no judgment. He's going to live forever in glory. And then he asks this penetrating question. Do you believe this? Wow, what a question, right? Do we believe this today? As you're hearing this, do you believe that whoever believes in Jesus will live? We're a heartbeat away from death, you know. Our loved ones are heartbeat away. God has put in us a ticker, a thing that ticks to tell us it's going to stop. I'm always amazed at that. Something that ticks. We walk around with a ticker. We're walking corpses. Our days are numbered. And Jesus says, in believing in me, in resting in me, eternal death is no reality. You'll never die. You'll never go to the place of torment. You will live. Do you believe this? How that affects the way we move forward in the light of death, right? Because we know the only strength is to rest in this promise. Because without this promise, we will go through life frantically. Unbelief will attack and call into question God's goodness, his providence, his wisdom, and why this chain of circumstances happened or is happening the way that it is. And then the anger. You know, something happens that seems beyond us, and the anger that can set in, if unresolved, it will destroy you. It will lead you into the abyss of torment and emptiness alone. Jesus has told us that things ultimately are ordered for His glory, and that in Him, since He is the resurrection, this sadness will be turned into joy. Sorrow comes in the night, but joy in the morning, says the psalmist. And what happens? Well, Jesus looks upon all their weeping, which is real, which is natural to what they have been uplifted with. And Jesus, we read, looked upon the weeping and all of the Jews that came weeping, and we read that He was groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And He asked where Lazarus had been laid. They show Him, and we read one of the most moving verses in the Bible. Jesus wept. The implication here is right. He's looking and weeping, feeling all the emotion that comes with seeing death. It's a moving scene. The God of heaven and earth weeping over death. The horrid consequence of sin upon this fallen human race. How precious in the sight of God is the death of one of His saints. And here He stands looking over one of His eternal objects of love, who is lifeless. The Jews had gathered. Some of them began to mock, of course. Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Well, the moment had come. Everything was prepared. The foolishness of men was about to be brought to nothing, and the glory of God was about to be revealed in His saints as He would put this on display. So Jesus comes to the tomb. The stone lay against it. Jesus says, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of Him who was dead, said to Him, "Lord, by this time there's a stench, for He's been dead for 4 days." And the text wants to communicate to us that the corpse was rotting away. It had been 4 days. It was a stinking corpse. And He says, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Again, we're called to believe. And He says it again. "Do you believe this? I told you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God, the glory of God revealed." Then they took away the stone from where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, "Father, I thank You that You have heard Me. And I know that You always hear Me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that You sent Me." Now when He had said these things, He cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth!" And he who had died came out bound, hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." Can you imagine seeing that? What we are seeing here is the whole scene of His own resurrection. The whole scene declared to us the purpose that Jesus had come forth, that those who believe will never die. Soon people would be coming to His tomb, seeing the stone rolled away. And soon they would see the risen Lord, whom God Himself raised up from the dead. Remember in Matthew 28? "But the angel answered and said to the woman, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who is crucified. He is not here, for He is risen, as He said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell His disciples that He's risen from the dead. And indeed, He is going before you into Galilee. There you will see Him. Behold, I've told you.' So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to bring His disciples word. And as they went to tell His disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, 'Rejoice.'" Now that's the response, isn't it? It's because He is risen today. All of this here in John chapter 11 points us to the fact that in Him, those who are in Jesus, who believe in Jesus, will be raised too. They will be loosed and let go. Our loved ones who put their trust in Him for life will be loosed and let go. That's what all this points to. It is by the power of Christ's resurrection that even the last enemy of death is defeated. Death is a defeated foe. And by believing in Christ, you've come to see already the Son of God high and lifted up through His resurrection. And in His resurrection, well, we have the guarantee of our glorious resurrection at the end. The resurrection today is the answer to all sorrow. It's the answer to all pain. This is exactly how the apostles understood it. And I think of what the apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, and that's what this takes us to today, my beloved brethren, stand steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. That's the promise he gives, and that is our hope. We celebrate today, what we celebrate every single day is that our Lord Jesus Christ is risen, and that we who have believed in him will never die. Now that's the great question then that is before us as we close this. Where do we stand? Jesus had remained behind while Lazarus died. How similar that is to our situation. He has gone away. He's prepared a place for us. Right now, he is in the heavens. And today, the same sorrows strike us. The same things we're subject to. There is sickness. There is death. Yet there is wonderful promise because Christ is the resurrection and the life. If you really believe this today, then praise him for the glorious resurrection. Praise him that the Son of God is lifted up. To those who don't believe, no, there's another resurrection. Jesus said there will be a resurrection to condemnation too. There's two, in a sense, where the bodies will both be raised. Those who believe will go into everlasting life, and those who do not will go down to eternal perdition. That's a great question then. Do we believe in this Jesus? We must in true faith come to him as the resurrection and the life, for he is our hope.
Studying God's Word that we might grow in our affection and love for Christ. This has been Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We come to you each and every day for a short time that we might study God's Word together, that we might grow in His grace and His amazing love for us. If you have questions or comments, as always, we stand ready to do our best to answer them. We're at 360-318-0429. Again, you can reach us at 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. You can find out a bit more about us, United Reformed Church here in Linden, who we are, what we believe, worship opportunities, and the like, at lindenurc.com. Now, that's our website where we even have some of the past messages as preached by Pastor Chris Gordon. They're available for you to listen to. Again, lindenurc.com. And then, as always, you're welcome to join us for worship. Our service times are at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. We meet at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden, Washington. For directions, either go to our website, lindenurc.com, or again, call 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. We thank you for joining us today and look forward to seeing you next time for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.